All right. So Acts chapter 16, and last week we were talking about how Paul and Silas and Timothy and how they wanted to go into Asia and they wanted to preach the gospel there, but the Holy Spirit wouldn't permit it. The Holy Spirit didn't allow them to go there and preach the gospel anymore at this point. Also in Thyatira, the Holy Spirit didn't let them go there because he was leading them to Macedonia. And you remember this vision that Paul had, this man crying out saying, come and talk to us. And so at this point, Asia was done for now, and the people in Macedonia were ready and ripe to hear the gospel. They were ready to receive Christ. And so the Holy Spirit didn't allow them to go into Asia, but had to get them to the other side. And so we were talking about how the Holy Spirit speaks to us. He speaks to us through the Word of God. He speaks to us through that still small voice, which is God's Word, through dreams, visions, like he's doing in China up there in the Northwest, how many Muslims are getting saved through visions and through dreams, not through people talking to them, but through visions and dreams. And the Holy Spirit is moving. He moves through your life. He moves through circumstances. And one of the other reasons why he didn't permit them to go over there, he actually used, many believe, a physical element of Paul, who had this element, physical, where his eyes were messed up. And so he works in many ways. And so and when I read about him working, I see how his leadership through the Holy Spirit, how he was leading Paul, and how he was leading them step by step. And we saw that through verse 6 and how the Spirit kept him from ministering in Asia. In verse 7, the Spirit kept him from ministering in Bethania. In verse 8 of Acts chapter 16, he was leading him to from these areas, but he brought him down into Troas. Did you get it right? Yes, I did, huh? Troas. Okay. I don't know what I was saying last week, but I was saying something else, and everybody kept throwing this at me. Okay, I got it, Troas. All right, and then in verse 9, the Spirit gave Paul this vision of this man in Macedonia. But look at verse 9. It says, "Then a vision appeared to Paul in the night, and a man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, 'Come over to Macedonia and help us.'" So he's crying out the word of God. You know, help us receive that word. You know, sometimes people might not say it, but they do want the Lord. You know, you won't know until you actually tell them. But there's people who, like myself, I think about before I came to become a believer or before I accepted the Lord, there was this conviction in my life. The things that I was doing, I felt bad about doing them. Every time we did it, I had this, I felt really bad, but there was that peer pressure, and there was that, I didn't want to look like, you know, in front of my friends. I didn't want to look, you know, like a sissy or anything. I can't use the right words. I have to use simple words, okay, because, but I had the conviction of the Holy Spirit. I knew it was the Holy Spirit convicting me. I knew that the Holy Spirit was alongside of me, and he was pointing me to Christ. And so I did want to change. I just didn't know where to go for it. And here this man in this vision is crying out to Paul, hey, we need help. We want you. Bring the gospel over here. And that's pretty much what was going on. But notice here in verse 10, here in the very beginning of verse 10, the words we and us, they replace the words they and them, which you find and you read in verses 1 through 8 of here in chapter 16. Now, at this point, we see how Luke is now joining Paul and Silas and Timothy here on their second missionary's trip. And it's actually Luke who wrote the book of Acts. And so he puts in we now. So he adds himself to it instead of they and them. And many believe that at this point Luke joins him only because, the Spirit brings him there. But another reason why is because he was there because Luke was a doctor and he was helping meeting the medical needs of Paul. Because remember, Paul had this, I don't know if it was malaria or Asian fever or whatever it was, but physically he was going through it. And so many believe that Luke, because he was a physician, that he went along to meet the medical needs of Paul. But what I see here, again, I see how the will of God is being done here in verse 10. God's will is being done. And I see this strong conviction of the Spirit, God's will, and the call of the Lord's will here in verse 10. And by giving Paul this vision, and I see how Paul shares this vision with Silas and with Timothy and now Luke, who had joined them. But notice here in verse 10, look at verse 10. It says, after seeing the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia. And they concluded that the Lord had called them, or he had called us, to preach the gospel to them. Now the word here, conclude, and the reason why I want to stay here just in verse 10, because I think this is perfect now that we're going into a new year. The word concluded means proving. It means putting together, setting side by side. So the word giving here, concluded, it gives us a picture of these three men, Paul, Silas, and Timothy, and Luke also, gives us a picture of them coming together and discussing and reasoning and considering all that had taken place with them. They concluded this, that what this vision and what's happening here of them not going into preaching the gospel in Asia and Bethania, they concluded that that's from the Lord. They sat and they reasoned together this vision that Paul had and the closing of the door by the Spirit. Now listen to Revelation chapter 3, verse 7. Listen to what Jesus said. And he was talking to the churches, the seven churches in those beginning chapters. And in chapter 3, verse 7, the angel of was speaking. Jesus is speaking to the church of Philadelphia, but he's speaking to God's people. Now, if you ever read those churches, how the Spirit is speaking to the churches, we all can say, yeah, this is like me, you know. He's speaking to the body of Christ, to the church. And he says, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, and he who has the King of David. Now listen to what he says. He who opens doors that no one can shut, and he shuts doors that no one can open. You know what I'm saying? God opens doors that you can't shut. You can't even try to close the doors. You can't. You can't even make a little crack. And he shuts doors that you can't even open up. Now I always wanted to know what it's like to kick a door open. Always. And, you know, and one time I thought, you know, I'm just going to kick my bedroom door open, just see what it's like. But I didn't do it, obviously. I'll probably end up breaking my leg. But God closes doors, and we try to open them up. And I'll give you a good example of the house that I live in, when we always wanted to buy a house, no doubt. I'm sure that's a goal for everybody. And when we bought our house, I was working at General Dynamics back in the late 80s, early 90s. In 1991, I actually quit General Dynamics and I came on staff here at church. And so when we decided to buy a house, I already quit General Dynamics and I just started the church. And I thought, there's no way the bank's going to give us a loan. I just quit my job. I quit a good position. I quit good pay, everything. I just quit it, and now I'm on staff. The pay is cut, no benefits. The position is you know, it's not like in man's standards, it's not a good position, obviously. And we even got flack for him. I remember one of our sisters-in-law, why is he doing that? Is he crazy? And I thought, well, the banks ain't going to go for this. And so we went, and the bank said, yeah, we'll give you a loan. And I'm thinking, oh, wow, that's okay, sure. And so the house that we were going to buy, they were asking back then, you know, it was like $138,000 for a house, which is, you know, really not a whole lot compared to what they are now. And so we're excited. And then I thought, you know, I don't want the house. And I started praying against the house. And I started praying, Lord, shut the door. I don't want to do this. And all of a sudden, the buyer said, hey, you know, I'm going to drop it down to $131,000. And I'm saying, Lord, close the door. I don't want this. And then the our realtor said, you know, I'm not even going to get a part of this. The money that I make, I want to put it towards your house to the points and put it towards that. And I'm thinking, wow, Lord, close the door. It's just, door's not closing there. It keeps getting better and better. And finally, the Lord said, you got the house. He closes doors that nobody can open, and he opens doors that nobody can close. And you know what I found out? When the Lord closes one door, he always opens another one for you. Just like he did here for upon them. He closed the door for the gospel to be preached in Asia, but he opened the door for the gospel to be preached in Macedonia. And so they came together, and they started to discuss what the Lord had did. They discussed about this strong conviction of Paul and this vision and his calling for the Lord. And I really believe you need a strong conviction when you want to serve God. You got to really believe what you want to do for the Lord. Now, I want to read these New Year resolutions. You know, the top common broken New Year's resolutions that, you know, everybody, you know, they took a census and people were, and this is the world. It's not like spiritual resolutions, which I kind of got from other people. But listen to what they are. And I'm sure some of you, myself, I probably did the, you know, said, hey, I you know, this is a resolution I want to do. The number one was lose weight or get in fit, right? Quit smoking. Learn something new, a new trade. Eat healthier and diet. Get out of debt. Right, and save money, spend more time with the family, travel to new places, be less stressed, volunteer more, and drink less. Those are the top 10. Now, here's the top 10 spiritual resolutions. And this is probably some of you here probably made some of these. I know I have. First one is get up early in the morning and do more devotions, right? I mean, how many of you said, hey, you know what, this year I'm going to get up early and I'm going to have a morning devotion, right? Pray more, read the Bible more, go to church more, get involved more, actually tithe to the Lord, try to share my faith more, go to a Bible study, pray and let Jesus bring me a mate, and fast more and lose weight. You know, those are the spiritual resolutions. And, you know, I'm down for this. I think we need to have spiritual resolutions. But we need to have a strong conviction when we make these resolutions. My conviction needs to be strong, just like Paul's conviction in what he believed, what God was telling. It was so strong that, man, I'm doing this. I'm going for it. Well, if you're making these spiritual resolutions, you got to have a strong conviction. You just can't let it be words. You got to be a doer of them. And these, I think, are something that we need to really implement in our lives and in the lives of our children and our family. And I know I do. I'm convicted by some of them. I need to make sure that I pray more, pray for my children. I do. I pray every day, but I want to pray more. You know, and so they concluded that this vision was definitely from God. His strong conviction of his desire to serve the Lord, this is from God. And it was God's will for them to go to Macedonia, which is what now? Now, if you look on the map, it's what, Europe? If you look on there, it's Europe. To go preach the gospel. Now I got a question here, guys. Who were the first people group to bring the gospel to America? Anybody know? What was it? The Pilgrims, right? The Puritans. They came on the Mayflower, and they brought the first Bible that America was founded on, right? You see how the Lord knew what he was doing? Where did they come from? Yeah, from Europe. Think about it. The Lord knew what he was doing for such a time as this. Paul started it when he went to Macedonia to take the gospel over there. And we are here today because it started there. Think about it. Isn't the Lord perfect? In every way, he knew. Verse 10 shows how it also shows us how important it is that we test the spirits. They came together to make sure that this vision was definitely from God. They came, they concluded. So that means they had to sit there. Let's think about this, guys. Let's look at what's going on here. Paul says, I had this vision. Let me share it with you guys. This is the vision. And isn't it interesting that the Lord is closing the doors for us to go in here? For some reason, we're not getting over here to Asia to share the gospel, but they had to come and they had to test to make sure it was definitely of God. And that's why it's important for us to make sure that it's God leading us in our own personal lives. Amen. And even in the decisions and in the ministries that we feel very strong conviction starting here in this body of Christ here at North Park, Horizon North Park, we got to make sure that it's God that's calling us, that it's the Lord that's leading us. And how do we do that? Well, it's very simple. We go to the Word of God, right? In fact, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 10, it tells us exactly, shows us how we know that it's God that's leading us. If you want to know, how do I know that God's leading me? Listen to Ephesians 5, verse 10. Paul said this, find out what is acceptable to the Lord. Very simple. Find out what is acceptable to the Lord. You remember how we used to walk in darkness? Remember before we were Christians, how we used to practice sin? And some of us were really good at it, right? You're really good at it. We accepted it. But now, guess what? What are we doing now? We're actually proving what is acceptable to the Lord. That is, we are literally learning what is really acceptable in the sight of the Lord. I'm learning every day what God approves in my life. And I'm doing it by reading the Word of God, looking to the Word of God. And what I used to do, I'm finding out now that I shouldn't have anything to do with it. I'm learning through my circumstances. I'm learning through what I, as I study the Word of God. Guess what? As I study it, as I read it, I end up doing it. I become a doer of the Word of God. And I stand up against the things that are unacceptable to God. I go against the flow. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21, Paul said, test all things and hold fast to what is good. You got to test them. Hold fast to what is good. I love when he said, hey, think on the things from above and not on the things below. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, listen to what John said. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because there are many false prophets had gone out into the world. I had someone ask me, what do you think about, what's his name that's coming to the sports arena? Joel Osteen. What do you think about that, brother? I said, hey, I'll tell you what. You know how much they're charging you to go hear the gospel? I'll charge you less. Come hear the gospel. Come hear it from me. I won't charge you as much. I will never pay to go hear the gospel. Why do I need to pay to go hear the gospel? Why are they even charging? If he's going to do something there, why charge? He'll fill it, right? Would you pay over 20 bucks to have a seat to hear the gospel preached? And and you're not even going to get the whole gospel. And you're not even going to be in the front row. Be careful. Test the spirits. And how do we test the spirits? Easy, guys. Listen to 1 John chapter 4, verse 2. Listen to this. By this you'll know the Spirit of God, that every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ had come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because he that is in you is greater than he that's in the world. And they are of the world. Therefore, they speak as of the world. And the world hears them. But we are of God. And he who knows God hears us. He who has not God does not hear us. But this we know, the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So we're to test What is being taught and what is being shared? This teaching here that I teach, you got to test it. The actions and the suggestions, the thoughts of those who are sharing the Word of God, even the voice, maybe that you're hearing a voice. Is it of the Spirit of God? Is it the Holy Spirit? And does it affirm both the deity and the humanity of Christ? Does it confess Jesus is God in the flesh? Jesus is God. Does it teach that? I want everybody to know this. I strongly, strongly believe Jesus is God in the flesh. Jesus is fully God and he's fully man. The Bible is God's word to us. I believe everything that it says. I believe that it is the inerrancy of God. It's without error, without fault in all its teachings. And I want you to hear that first, because I never want to be put under the category of a false teacher. I make mistakes. I agree. I'm the first to say I even can't pronounce words right. But I believe Jesus is God. Amen. Paul and Silas knew that it was from the Lord. They knew it. That it was God's will for them to go to Macedonia, guys. And how do we know the Lord's will in your life? How do you know? I hear it all the time. How do I know what the will of God's in my life? It's easy. In fact, I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 3 with me real fast, okay? Proverbs chapter 3. Because if you're here and you want to know what the will of the Lord's in for your life, this is it, Proverbs chapter 3. And this is the new spiritual resolution that you should have for the Lord. And I know this is of the Lord, guys, because when I was in the prayer room, I opened up this Messianic Jewish Family Bible. And when I opened it up, it was actually on Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. And I was like, wow, that was encouraging to me, thinking, okay, Lord, this is what you want me to share this morning. You know, and I love what Proverbs chapter 3 in this Bible, how it reads, because it's really encouraging. Because it uses Hebrew words when it talks about God's commandments and God himself. But look at Proverbs chapter 3. Look at verse 5. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. Now listen to what it says in the Messianic Bible. He says, trust in Adonai. So every time it mentions the Lord, it uses the Hebrew name for the Lord. You got to get a Bible like this and read it, because it is very encouraging. It's very like, I get the chills and I just want to keep reading it. Trust in Adonai with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. We got to trust in the Lord, especially when it doesn't make sense. Because a lot of times God does things, you know, and it doesn't make sense, God. I can't figure this out. But his ways are not like our ways. And we got to trust in him. We got to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. And it's going to be according to God's word. Don't trust in what you know, guys. Don't lean on yourself or on others. You got to trust in Adonai. You got to trust in the Lord. Do not be wise in your own eyes. In verse 7, look at it. Fear the Lord and depart from evil, and it'll be healthy to your flesh and strength to your bones. You know what? Human understanding, a lot of times, is contrary to God's wisdom. Now, how many of you here believe you got to have common sense, right? We need common sense, right? You got to have it. But you know that sometimes God's ways do not always complement our common sense. That's why you can't trust. You got to trust in God. You got to trust in the Word of God. In fact, Paul said in 1 Corinthians verse 25, listen to what he says. He says, even the foolishness of God is wiser than men. The most wisest man around, even the foolishness of God is wiser than him. And the weakness of God is stronger than man. For you see your calling, brother. There's not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble who are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the wise to put shame the to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring nothing to things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. You can't glorify God in your flesh, bottom line, right? You can maybe play the part, but then you become an actor. There's a lot of actors, and they're good at it. But you just sense it. You know it's not when it's in the flesh. Look at verse 9 of Proverbs. He says, honor the Lord with all your possessions and with your first fruits and all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Trust from the Bible, guys, it doesn't come from the head. It comes from the heart. That's the trust you have to have in the Lord. Not from your head, but from the heart. It's not a result of reasoning with your mind. It's a result of believing from your heart. In fact, we get a good example of that with Abraham. Remember Abraham? The story of Abraham when he left his family and went to, God said, hey, I want you to go. And he said, go where? Just go. Can you imagine if God told you, hey, I want you to pick up and just go? Okay, Lord, where do you want to go? Want us to go? Just go. I would love to do that. Just get in the car and just go, you know. That would be faith, right? Well, Abraham tells us in Romans, and in Hebrews, that Abraham believed God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Why? Because of his faith. It was his faith that God loved. And every time Abraham leaned on his own understanding, he always messed up. He failed. He failed according to his own understanding. I'll give you an example of that. Remember when the Lord told him to leave his people, go to Haran, he went over there and there was this, and God said, I'm going to provide for you over here. I want you to go here. I'm going to provide. So he went. Well, there's this big famine in the land. And so Abraham, the famine was there, and Abraham leaned on his own understanding and said, you know what? We need to leave here. We need to go to Egypt because there's grain stored over there. There's a famine over here. But isn't that where God told him to go? Did not God say, I will provide for you? He left, and he went to Egypt. And what happened in Egypt? Well, that's where Hagar came from. Okay, first leaning on his first understanding. The second part is that he didn't trust in the Lord when the Lord said, hey, I'm going to give you a son. And through his own understanding, he could not picture them having a son when they were far past the natural age of childbearing. And what happened? Because of his first understanding, Sarah decided to give him her maidservant, which is Hagar, which came from Egypt. And Abraham said, oh, hey, yeah, that's a great idea. I'll take it. And I'll get a son from her. And so he slept with her. And so they did not trust in God. They trust in their own understanding. Because of their lack of trust, guess what? The results of this is that we're still suffering today, over 4,000 years later. See, it just goes to show that our mistakes has consequences. And I'm always saying, Lord, I blew it, so just let the consequences fall on me. But no, it doesn't. Sin has a consequence, and it has that snowball effect. So look at verse 5. It says, and lean not on your own understanding. You know, when he says here in Proverbs, lean not on your own understanding, the word lean means to support yourself on something or to rely on something. Because you believe in that which you are thinking that you're being held up by. Well, even if it's the word or it has word and meaning and truth in it, but we're told not to rely or depend on our own understanding. We have to make that choice, guys. You're either going to depend on your own understanding or you're going to trust in God, who is greater than our understanding. Because our understanding is sometimes not worth trusting in. I've been finding that out. But God's understanding is always trustworthy. Amen? Amen. Does he ever let you down?
Never.
And if you're here thinking that he let you down, he didn't let you down. You just didn't like the answer he gave you. That's all. You just didn't like the way he answered it, because it didn't go your way. It went God's way. But he goes on and he says that we're not to lean our own understanding, but and we're to give unto the Lord. Give to the Lord your first fruits. And he says that your vats and your barns will be filled. It's long been said, listen to this. I love this. The worship of God involves three books. And you might not want to hear this, but it's true. The worship of God involves three books. First, God's book, which is the Bible. Okay? The hymn book, which is the book that has all the worship songs. And the pocketbook. Trusting in the Lord with all your heart includes trusting him with your substance, with your wealth, with your possessions. Listen, God is honored by when you give to him. It's part of the commandment. I'm not making this up. We're just right there in Proverbs chapter 3. It says it. God doesn't want us to give him his leftovers. He wants us to give him our first fruits. And you know, this principle of first fruits is one of God's greatest laws. And it goes way back throughout Israel's history. God commanded them to bring him their first fruits of what? Their crops, of their livestock, all that he had blessed them with. He said, give me your first fruits. And they were even instructed to dedicate their firstborn children to the Lord as well. It all comes from God anyways. Look at verse 11 in Proverbs. He says, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father, the son in whom he delights. You know, our life in Christ, it's an act of trusting in him. It's an act of knowing him in his word, knowing him through his word. It's an act of being zealous for the things of God, praying for the lost, following after Jesus, following after Paul's example of reaching out. That is God's will for our life. Trust in Adonai with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And lean not on your own understanding. And in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will what? Direct your path. Amen.